Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Great to see you all here on the day of Pentecost. Happy Father's Day to you, fathers. Well, when I was age 14, I remember really yearning for God's Spirit. In those years of insecurity and feeling disempowered and really needing God's power to overcome, I felt like a yearning to have God's Spirit. I remember saying to my mum and dad, Matthew 5 verse 3 says, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God." But I'm not poor in spirit, I just don't even have any. And, you know, as time went on, I was baptized and received the Spirit. And we know from Scripture that when we ask for God's Spirit, He gives it to us. And so for so many years, I believed that the purpose of the Spirit was to have it. And about 4 years ago, I heard a scripture, and we'll go there, John 7. It changed my whole understanding of asking and receiving the Spirit. John 7 and let's start in verse 37 and go through to verse 39. And Christ said, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." But this spoke Jesus of the Spirit, which they that believe on him would receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And I heard that scripture and thought, wow. It's not only about receiving the Spirit and having it, it's about those rivers of living waters flowing from you. Let's go to Isaiah 58. Because in John 7 it says, as the scripture says, and there's no perfect scripture in the Old Testament that quotes what Christ said. But in Isaiah 58, verse 11 is the closest we get to it. And many commentators agree this may be one of the scriptures Christ was referring to. Let's start in verse 10, Isaiah 58 and verse 10. "And if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity and your darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of waters whose waters fail not." It's like when you fast and when you do those good works, God blesses you by letting life flow from you. So the title of this message is Receive So That You Can Give. So I've got 4 points here. First one is those who are given the Spirit need to receive it. Let's go back to John 20. John 20 and verse 22. Jesus talking with his disciples. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Spirit. Right, so it's about giving and us receiving. And when we receive the Spirit, we need to do something with it. It's, you know, don't hide it or don't isolate yourselves, because when you have the Spirit, there's so much interaction that you have with others expressing that. Point number two is we need to be centered and solid in our and our issues resolved before being able to bless others. And our calling is one of progression. We start receiving the Spirit to help us heal, to help us overcome, and to help us to understand that we can be strong in our weakness. But from this strength, then we can bless others. And in Matthew 22, let's just go there, Matthew 22. And verse 37 to 39. Matthew 22, verse 37. And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. It's kind of, let's get that relationship with God sorted out. Let's understand ourselves. Let's have our identity in God. And verse 39, and the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we don't love ourselves, then how can we love others the same way? Right, we've got to have that grace and compassion for ourselves, and then we can give it. Point number three is let your light shine for the glory of God. Back in Matthew 5 and verses 14 to 16, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that sit on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Right, so let that Spirit express in good works and in what we say and do. And point number four, the more you give, the more that comes back. It's a principle in different parts of our spiritual walk. Let's go back to Malachi 3 and we'll read verse 10 talking about tithing. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So here God's saying that when we give our tithes, God rewards us. He overflows us with physical blessings. And in verse 11, protection as well. Let's look at Luke 6 and verse 38. Luke 6 and verse 38. Christ says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you measure, it shall be measured to you again. So when you're generous, others are generous. God is generous. It's like when you receive, you have more to give. And when you give more, more comes your way. It's an abundant growth mindset, I guess. Let's look at John. John 15. And verse 5, Christ saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Right, here we see that increase again. Right, when the Spirit comes into you, Christ abides in you, there's much fruit. And we see that from a spiritual sense, the fruits of the Spirit flourish. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9 and closing this. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 to verse 11. But I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. In verse 9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Verse 10, now he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and will multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So brethren, giving results in receiving, which results in more opportunities to give. This is God's destiny for us as part of his never-ending growing kingdom. It's a kingdom of growth. So, brethren, let's mindfully receive the blessings of God so that we can in turn give from our abundance.